It's spoiler in time, folks. This is the show that is a brother show to Cord Killers, or it's a sibling show. Basically, on Cord Killers, we talk about how to watch things. Here on Spoiler in Time, we take what we've learned there and watch things. This week, we're going to talk about The Larry Sanders Show, episodes 3 and 4 of season 4, What We Do in the Shadows, season 2, episode 6, and Rick and Morty, episode 8 of season 4. I'm Tom Merritt. You don't argue with me about this. You're Brian Brushwood, right?
I mean, yes, 100%. Like, if Cord Killers is the show about how to cook a bunch of meals, this is the show where we're like, I don't know. I like that one, I guess. Or possibly, that was the best meal ever.
Right. No, that's a good way to... Cord Killers is the cooking show.
Yes.
This is the how was it show.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
All right, let's talk about how was Rick and Morty. Let's talk about Rick and Morty, the Vat of Acid episode.
Tom?
Yes, Brian.
What?
It's a little bit of a game of chicken going on between Brian and I right now.
What do you think I'm going to say about this episode?
I think you're going to say that you really liked it and it was the best one so far of the part 2 of season 4.
It's weird that you would say that because I feel like I really liked it. And it was the best one of everything since we came back from the mid-season break.
Nailed it!
Do you know why I liked it, though?
I don't. I know why I liked it, which may or may not be why you liked it. Where I found myself liking it, I went from, here we go again, when they were being meta about, you know, arguing about story arcs in the early part, to the montage. When we got to the montage, and the montage kept surprising me, I kept thinking, well, obviously this is what they'll do next with this. And then they didn't. And then the story kept going. And I'm like, okay, so the funny way to wrap it up will be this. And then they avoided that. And they just kept the joke going without talking, and ran through this beautiful story. And then didn't resolve that the way I thought they would, and then kept pulling a few of those hijinks. And once they got back to talking and we were back in the quote unquote real world and they pulled the rug out, it wasn't quite as compelling. But man, that montage segment was glorious. Best thing I've seen on Rick and Morty in a while.
I was super, super worried when I think pretty early on they started doing that inside the room writer's table talk or whatever. And I'm like, guys, third time in a row, what are you doing? You know, like, I pitched you this and you blah, blah, blah. And it's like, I only have so much stomach for that. But you're 100% right. They finally decided on a MacGuffin. He abused the MacGuffin. He played with the MacGuffin. A genuine story that was genuinely interesting happened with the MacGuffin. There was genuine loss to undo everything in that delightful little vignette. It's the best one since maybe the first of this season.
Yeah, since Rick Die Repeat, Rick Pete.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if this makes any difference, but I'm noticing that Jeff Loveness, who has written Never Ricking Morty and Promortius, wrote this with Albro Lundy getting a credit. I'm curious, I don't know this, if the montage was Albro Lundy and the rest was Jeff Loveness, because the rest felt very similar to the past two episodes, whereas the montage felt totally different and original.
Yeah, and I'm not going to say that it's ruining anything, the constant winking to the chatter of the writer's room. I'm not going to say that you have to give that up in order to get me totally on board, but at this point, like, I at least would really deeply appreciate being made to understand what you love about that, writers, because something about those writers, sorry, I'm going to curse, they fucking love that, and they can't give it up, and it's just nonstop, and I don't...
Talking as in, like, metatextually about the show?
Rick, I pitched you this idea and you always crap on my ideas, and it's like, oh, this, like, is obviously,
you know,
a conversation that happens in the writer's room.
Only major arcs. We're not going to do any, like all of that insider lingo.
Wow, I'm surprised you don't... I'm still surprised you don't like that stuff.
I don't dislike it, but I don't understand why they're throwing so much of it at us to no apparent benefit. And even in this episode, would this episode have been any better or worse if they just deleted those words and used some other words?
I don't know.
Was this episode better for them having used those insider, hey, just so you know, we're doing writer's room insider talk?
I probably think it's better with that than without, if only because we know that they have so much of this like freewheeling improv-y sort of stuff. And I think it's intentional to make us feel like they're either using this to address the audience or represent the audience. And it's like a fourth wall break. I think there's an interesting intimacy that Rick and Morty has built by talking that way.
Where I'm with you, Bryce, is there. Like, I like when they break down the fourth wall. I like when they're self-aware. That's one of the fun things about Rick and Morty. But where I tend to move back towards Brian on this is they've done that a lot, especially in these past three episodes. And at a certain point, it's like, in fact, this episode, I'm like, this doesn't bother me as much, but I'm not loving it. And I think that is the key, is that it's not that I mind that they're doing it. It's that it's not new, and it's not adding the thing that's like, I didn't expect this, because now I expect it.
You know, honestly, the thing that I pulled out of the story, and this is more of a story blocks thing, was like, as the montage was going on, it was a nice montage, and it was this really extended story, and you get a lot out of Morty's thinking, and just the longer and longer it goes, I thought, okay, so they're really just going to like turn this around, and this is actually going to be a bad thing in some way.
Right.
I'm kind of getting over that, sort of like, there, you're not allowed to just have a good, there's, you're not allowed to have anything good, even when it's nice and extended.
You know what? I think I'm bored with you on that. Like, one of the boldest things I saw in science fiction, full stop, was second, third season of Battlestar Galactica, where they were lucky enough to encounter another fully armed Battlestar, an even better one than Galactica, called the Pegasus. And immediately my storytelling brain was like, well, there's no way they allow us to keep this awesome thing. And then they go and you see the bridge, and the bridge is freaking awesome and everything's great or whatever. And then to my utter shock, surprise, and delight, they end it with this like, yeah, so we have two Battlestars now. Pretty cool, huh? And I was like, holy cow, you're gonna let us have this nice thing. This is amazing. And I wouldn't mind watching a
Rick
similarly
is winning a lot.
Courageous move in Rick and Morty.
Yeah, Rick is winning a lot. And
I feel like they might be teasing us to that, because this was an episode where Morty finally put a line in the sand. And this is an episode where it turned out to be a feint, but Rick admitted that Morty was right. And I think they're teasing us with like, you can't have that easily. That's we're not just going to throw this down and give it to you. We're going to feint until you don't believe it'll happen. And then once you've given up believing it'll happen, then we'll be able to make it happen in a way that will surprise and delight you the way the Pegasus did Brian. That's where my head is at on this, because I really didn't expect the Morty lifetime with his soulmate to not end in some kind of like, aha, trick, which it did, but not until Morty had been reset accidentally, right? Like, his story with her, even when she showed up and when the multitudes came and she was like, look, like that story still could have ended well. And that was a nice surprise for me, that it wasn't that contained in his love story was a problem, right? There wasn't one.
I did find it interesting that they didn't give us a particularly good reason why at no point during what clearly was the happiest run of Morty's life, he never once pressed the save button, given that that's quite literally what he asked for.
Oh, yeah.
He never found any other reason to do it,
right?
Especially when things are going well.
Especially because yes, we do save our game before we do something incredibly stupid or dangerous or risky or whatever, but we also save our game the second something amazing happens. And something fairly amazing happened for a prolonged amount of time, and it never occurred to him to hit the save button. That was
That, I don't know.
That was hard for me to go along with.
You're right, but I don't know that you have as lovely a story any other way than just like, oh, I guess he forgot. And I'm willing to suspend my disbelief.
Thank God it wasn't Jessica. Thank you for giving a plausible, credible love story between Morty and someone who is not Jessica.
Yeah. The macing, getting maced was very funny though. That was a good club.
Because I've been there. I've definitely been there.
I mean, quick save, mid jump.
We live on the air had me accidentally save surrounded by too many foes to defeat. And then the next 4 hours was that.
Good.
All right. Anything else on Rick and Morty 408?
Beatmaster brings up the Pickle Rick comments. How much do you love referencing previous Rick and Morty stuff?
I mean, it could be done too much. This wasn't done too much for me, so it was fine.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I mean,
I do. Actually, what's funny is I didn't care for it when it was about the Pickle Rick. I know that multiple times they've bagged on the dragon episode, like in that writer's room hates dragons and fantasy and they keep wedging that stuff in.
I don't think you're going to see any less of that. I think
I agree.
Look, Dan Harmon-ness of this, right?
Asking the show to be anything other than what it already is, but you know, sometimes you see the strings that are making the ball float.
All right. That's Rick and Morty, the Vat of Acid episode.